What happens the day after Christmas? Do you ever think about that going into the holiday? Like, does Christmas, this holiday, make any difference in your life? We always spend time looking forward to Christmas, but what happens when the day has passed? Perhaps some of you can relate to the question this way. A mother once was like lamenting the end of the holidays, and she said this. She said, "As soon as my kids hang up their stockings on Christmas Eve, I know that it will be the last time that anyone picks up any of their own clothes and puts them in the right place for an entire year." When I shared that joke with my wife, Cheryl, she didn't laugh. I don't know why. But maybe it's worth thinking about this question tonight, and sort of to ask it, this question of what difference Christmas makes alongside another question, one that I have heard on the hearts and souls of a lot of people in the last few months. As we celebrate these holidays, can we maybe just put the year 2020 behind us? Like, don't you kind of just want to wake up the day after Christmas and think that we can start over? Like, just wipe 2020 out and get a fresh slate for the year ahead. I don't think we can talk about celebrating Christmas tonight without acknowledging how hard this year has been for so many people. Maybe you've seen some of the memes out there that try to capture 2020, and let me share a few of those. One of my favorites is the ice cream truck. If 2020 was an ice cream truck, yes, it would be delivering liver and onions, or in my case, probably Brussels sprouts. Or how about this one? If 2020 was a slide, a cheese grater, painful, right? This year's been so painful. How about if 2020 was a pinata? Bee's nest, right? Seems about right. Or this one, if 2020 was a scented candle? That's about right. And one more, if 2020 was a game. Maybe you felt like this kid at some point over the last 9 months. And you know, I think we can laugh about it a little bit, but the truth is, so many have experienced real pain this year. Heart-wrenching loss, unexpected life changes, grief beyond measure. I've shared with so many in the pain of this year. And so the question comes to us that many of us bring right now, the question that stirs our hearts tonight: can anything change tonight? Can the world please be different tomorrow? Or maybe you're asking, can your life be different tomorrow? Will your life be different tomorrow or the day after or the day after that? I mean, ultimately, we ask this question, like what difference does tonight make? What difference does Christmas make? Have you ever heard of Simeon and Anna? Simeon and Anna are characters in the Christmas story, and they're key characters right after the birth of Jesus. But if you don't know them or much about them, don't worry about it. You're probably in good company. In fact, I picture Simeon and Anna in heaven today, and they're like hanging out at Jesus' birthday party. You know, they've got birthday parties up there, right? And they're sitting at a table with the shepherds and the wise men and the angel Gabriel, and they're like, "Hey, why doesn't anyone tell our story at Christmas? Like, what? Why do you all, the wise men, the shepherds, why do you all get those like cool little nativity action figures, but there's no Simeon and Anna to be found? We saw the baby Jesus before the wise men, and yet you don't see cute pictures of us with the baby." What I'm trying to say is this: if you don't know Simeon and Anna, I think you are probably in the majority and not the minority. Because what most of us know of the Christmas story is this, right? The baby Jesus is born, and Mary lays the baby in a manger, and angels sing to the shepherds, and the shepherds go to visit the baby, and sometime later wise men come. And if you've ever been to a Christmas Eve service, you've heard most of that story. But it doesn't end there. In fact, that's not even the end of chapter 2 in Luke's telling of the story. What happens next is that Mary and Joseph, right, they've had the baby, and now they have to find some like new sense of normal life. And when I say normal life, I don't mean like normal. They've had a baby that is the Messiah. But their next act is, you know, likely what any parents would do. They they lay awake worried at night about whether they're going to be good parents for God's son, and wondering every time the baby sleeps for more than a half hour whether it's still breathing. All right, the Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible story does say this. It says that Mary and Joseph, they take the baby to the temple to dedicate baby Jesus. This is normal. It's what every family would have done to celebrate, particularly a first child. They would go and they'd offer the appropriate sacrifices. For a poor family, they would likely purchase a couple of birds. It's part of the reason we know that Mary and Joseph probably didn't have much. And this is where Simeon and Anna enter the story. And at a glance, there's nothing abnormal in this story at first. There's nothing that would indicate that Simeon and Anna would have any reason to distinguish this baby and this family from any other families that were coming to the temple. And yet something happens for Simeon and Anna. And in the ordinary of life, and everything else going on, they see the extraordinary. Simeon, we're told, he's lived his whole life looking forward to the comfort of Israel. His whole life, he's heard God's promise, and he lives every day hoping that his people would find this sense of comfort and peace. And something about this promise of God that he holds on to, it allows him, because he's holding on to it, it allows him to see the Messiah in this baby. And it's in this moment he sees a light of revelation, not just for his people, but for all the people. And he declares to the family, to Mary and Joseph, what he's seen. And in the midst of this everyday moment of families coming into the temple, he sees something is happening in the world. He sees that God is at work. And the story tells us that he leaves that moment with this incredible sense of just completeness, of feeling whole. And then the story turns to Anna, and it says Anna is old, and she's been widowed for years. It tells us that through the trials of her life, she has been at the temple every day praying and worshiping. And when this moment comes, like Simeon, she sees God's promise coming to being in this child in her presence. And Anna, she takes it a step further. She starts sharing this good news with anybody that will listen. God is about to do amazing things. She wants to tell everybody around her. Share that good news. And you see, the thing is, Simeon and Anna, they were normal people. They weren't priests. What set them apart was in a world that had plenty of upheaval and pain, like today, in a day where most people were going through the normal routines of life, they never stopped looking for God to show up and deliver on God's promises of love, on God's promise of being present. So when that promise is fulfilled, they see God in the baby Jesus. Some of you may know or have been to shows of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. If you know them or know of them, you probably know the lights and the loud music and the lasers, or maybe you've seen house lights dancing to their upbeat music. But behind their shows, or maybe a better way to say this is underneath their shows, is always a story. In their 2007 show, it tells this story. It begins in a New York City office building, and we meet this middle-aged man who's working there, and he's just grumpy. He's angry. He's wondering where his coworkers are. He's like, why aren't they still working? And we learn, well, they're not working because it's Christmas Eve. He's the only one left. So he decides to walk home. You see, it tells us he's bitter and alone. But years before he had it all, he had an Ivy League degree, and he was married to a beautiful wife, and they had a child on the way. Everything was great. But then during the delivery of the child, his wife died of complications, and his son was born with brain damage as they were trying to save both the mother and the baby. And the man, he cried out to God. He said, this child is not in the image of the Creator. And he was unable to cope with a child who might not ever be able to even talk. So he takes the child to an institution. He just didn't think he could raise the child on his own. And then he goes about life trying to make ends meet, trying to make a life for himself. On this night, on this Christmas Eve, he passes by a toy store window and he sees a little girl who asks him if he has any children, and he's grumpy, and he asks the little girl where her parents are, and she says she's staying at the hotel next door, and she's come to see the toys. Her mom, dad said it was okay. He tells her to go home, and he says, no, I don't have kids. But then as he walks on, he can't stop thinking about his son. And so he calls the institution, and they say they're no longer housing men his son's age, and that he might try this address. This is the last address they had for his son. And so he goes to this address, and it's like a group home, a place where a number of people are living. And at this group home, he finds a landlord who says, well, your son's not here. Your son is working. And he can't be working, but he's given an address. And so he follows the instructions to this address, and it's a hospital. And when he walks in to the hospital, finds a nurse, and he asks, do you know where my son is? And he gives the name, and the nurse says, oh, yeah, I know your son. And she takes him back to a maternity ward. It's kind of dimly lit, and there are babies, and he can see some of the babies are crying, and some are just convulsing. And the nurse says that she believes that every child has the right to be rocked and comforted when they're born and before they die. And she says to the man, it's your son's job. And the man looks up and kind of recognizes him pretty quickly. There's his son at the other side of the room, sitting in a rocking chair, holding a little baby, comforting the baby and whispering. The nurse turns to the man and says to him, your son's the best we've ever had. He shows up every day, even holidays, and he does not leave until every one of those babies is rocked and comforted and no longer crying. As the man looks back across at his son and takes a step across the room towards him, his son looks up and he looks at a picture sitting next to him, and there, sure enough, is a picture of the man and his wife. His wife is pregnant. It was just before the baby was born. His son looks from the picture to him. The look of recognition in his eyes, and stands up and sets the baby down and comes and hugs his dad. And through his tears, his dad realizes that here is the image of God. It's the image of God that I didn't see when my son was born. At that moment, the music begins, a song called Christmas Canon. And we hear these words. This night, we pray, our lives will show this dream he had, each child still knows. And in the background, we hear, we are waiting. We have not forgotten. On this night, on this very Christmas night. And tomorrow and the day after and the day after that, the world isn't going to look much different. But tonight, we gather to accept an invitation to know that while the world may not be different, we can be changed. We can accept an invitation tonight to see God showing up. This is the gift of Christmas, the promise that God shows up and keeps showing up in and through Jesus. That God becomes human, showing us that God is among us and inviting us to see that God is at work in the world, even in the darkest times and the darkest places. And we, you and me, we're invited to claim this good news and share it, right? Our world needs good news. So when people in our community, when we reach out to homeless teens and abused teens, and they take care of them and they love them, right? God is showing up. Good news for us to share. When people in our community take the leftover and excess food and they create meals to feed hundreds of kids over the weekends, God is showing up, and it's good news for us to share. When people in our community bring together individuals and organizations and corporations and have them all work together to provide support and assistance and safe places for families and individuals in our community, God is showing up, and it's good news for us to share. When people in our community come together and they lend their gifts and talents and voices to tell stories that matter, to bring joy on the stage, God is showing up, and that is good news for us to share. Yeah, we all wish we could wake up tomorrow to a world without a pandemic, a world that would look different than today. And we all wish for a world of unity and peace, and it's a good wish. But the truth is, the world is always full of uncertainty. We can't promise that tomorrow will be free of pain or struggle even after the pandemic. But while the world may not change tomorrow, we can be changed. Because we know, we celebrate this very Christmas night, that hope has come into the world in a baby lying in a manger. We know, as we celebrate this Christmas night, that God is true to God's promise to keep showing up with love and grace. We know that when we wait, when we look, when we have eyes to see, good news is what God is doing all around us. May you see what God is doing as you celebrate this year. And may you share good news. Merry Christmas and amen.